Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. One of my professors at seminary, Robert Jensen, who taught systematic theology, he said that prayer is to the Christian life as breathing is to our physical life. Prayer is so important. So you may wonder, well, how did Jesus pray? What did Jesus pray? And we get bits and pieces of this every Sunday when we pray the Lord's Prayer. That's a prayer of Jesus, and he taught us that prayer. Every Holy Week, we hear Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but your will be done. You read in the Gospels that Jesus got up early in the morning and went to a quiet place to pray. Before he picked his disciples, he went to the mountain and he prayed all night. And as we look at chapter 17 of John's Gospel, we are blessed because we see a wonderful prayer that Jesus is praying. And what did he pray? Well, as we look at that prayer that we just heard in our reading, he prayed that his, well, we have Father in our Gospel, but actually the Aramaic word is Abba. Dear Daddy, dear Father, precious Daddy, that they would people protect his disciples and they would believe in him. And that means he prayed for us too. We're his disciples. He prayed that his disciples would be one. He prayed that the love which the Father has for the Son would also be in the disciples as they are sent into the world. And he prayed that his followers would be sanctified, made holy, set apart in the truth. God's word is truth. Obviously, Jesus loved his disciples. He wanted the best for them. In a mothering and kind of, or fathering kind of way. Because that's how he viewed God, as a mothering, fathering Abba or Amma. And he knew that they would be confronted in the world, that the gospel as they went out into the world would be confronted. And remember, the world, God so loved, he's not talking about creation, he's talking about different way of life, the way of the spirit or the way of the world. That's what he's talking about and he's praying about. And he says earlier in chapter 7, he said, the world will hate by the world because they were not of the world and they belonged to the kingdom of God. So in chapter 17 of John's Gospel, verse 15, Jesus prays that disciples would be protected from the evil one. You know, on this Mother's Day, we could all think about the women in our lives that have touched us in a very special way, that have touched our hearts, that we know they loved us. We know that we came home from school with a bruised knee, they would help heal it, or they had the cookies ready when we got home, or they loved us in special ways. And we can feel that. So, because you know, when you love somebody deeply, you know you want the best for them. You want them to be safe. You want them to know that you love them as a parent, and you're aware of the dangers out there. Think about when your oldest went to school for the first time. You know, Joe and I were lucky because the school bus stopped right in front of our house. So we went with Mark to the school bus, and I had that big, camera. And all the other parents were there, and Mark bravely, with his little backpack, he got onto the bus and he waved and we said, "Yay, yay." And the bus took off. Then I looked over at Joan. She had a tear in her eye. It was a motherly love. And almost like that, Mark was giving a commencement speech at his graduation in North Allegheny. And almost like that, he's walking across the stage at Syracuse University to get his diploma. And almost like that, he goes to Japan. He's teaching English to Japanese students. And then he meets another teacher, Zara, who happens to live not in Newcastle or California, but Singapore. They fall in love. He marries her, and they move to Singapore. And then my son becomes a father. And I become, and Joan becomes grandfather and grandmother. And we love them. In fact, when we get home today, we're going to look at like 20 pictures they sent us from Singapore for Mother's Day. And then my youngest, Luke, he was always late for the school bus, but the bus went around the block. So if he missed it in front of our house, he could run there. But Luke's like that. But he's very creative, and he won science things, and he's artistic, and he graduated from CMU and like that. And since then, he's traveled around America on a motorcycle, which he didn't tell us about till he got home, thank God. He went to Japan, Singapore, Thailand, Ireland, Canada, South Korea, Israel, Finland, Egypt, and Austria. And just creating an app that's going to hopefully help adolescents with mental health with their iPhones. You know, I used to think a trip to Pittsburgh was a big deal. But in his 32 years, he's done a lot more traveling than I have in my 72 years. And as parents, Jen and I are reminded that we love our sons, but they are their own people. And they belong ultimately to God, and God loves them. You know, no matter how much we love them, God loves them a trillion, a gazillion more ways than we do, and more. That's why it's so comforting to hear Jesus pray today to his Abba, his loving parent, so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Sanctify them in the truth. That oneness with God, that feeling of God's presence in our lives and of God's love that will never leave us in Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, St. Paul tells us in Romans 8. The knowledge that God's truth is real and so needed today. There is truth, capital T. It's God's truth. And as your children and grandchildren grow, and they go to school, or they go off to camp, or they go to Hershey, or they go to trade school, the military, or the Peace Corps, or down the aisle in holy matrimony. Yes, there is the hurrah. And we'd love to see them mature and grow and go out into the world. But there's also, it's mixed with a tear, tug at the heart, the prayer for safety, the hope that the upbringing, being in church, knowing the catechism, some of the Bible, some of those seeds will always be there and they'll always be with them. And all their life experiences and all the temptations and the confusions they'll see out there, all the questioning. So we have a sense what Jesus' heart was when he prayed in John 17:21. He prays, I also pray on behalf of those who believed in me through their word, that they all may be one, Father, Abba. You are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Notice, Jesus prayed that his disciples might be one, one in spirit, one in him. But he never prayed for uniformity, for everyone to be the same. But he prayed that they might be one, united in the midst of their differences, their diversity, united in love, united in the spirit. You see, as you read the scriptures, nowhere in the scriptures does Jesus tell Matthew not to be a tax collector. Nowhere does he tell Simon not to be a zealot. Nowhere does he tell Andrew not to be a fisherman. But rather, he told them to follow him, and he led them in the way of the Father. He led them in the way of living the full life, the joyful life, the alive life. in the uniqueness of who they were as individuals at their own pace of grace. You see, Jesus wants us to proclaim the gospel, but he wants Fred to do it in Fred's way, and Terry to do it in Terry's way, and Sarah to do it in Sarah's way, and Rachel to do it in Rachel's way, and Ellen to do it in Ellen's way. It's still the same gospel, but it's uniquely through us, and that's the way God wants it. And they were transformed as they followed Jesus in their own ways. They became more like Christ in their own unique ways, in their own unique callings. Were they perfect? No. Did they make mistakes? Yeah. But Jesus' love was always there, and they knew that. And because God is love, and love drives to reunite that which is separated, they had power in Christ. Sometimes this world puts on our shoulders these expectations that are so unrealistic that maybe your job is to make sure your kid doesn't go out with two different color socks, or their hair's not messy, or in the middle of the night he doesn't go through the window and jump down and go out and come back while you're still sleeping. You know, I don't know who did that, but I've heard about that. Or they have less than polite attitudes. I have two pastor's kids. You have two pastor's kids. You know, with the congregations. But, you know, most of the congregations in our situation were very, very gentle with our sons. And as you read the Bible, you find God, in his love, allows us to make mistakes and take wrong turns. You know, Martin Luther, in his wisdom, said that, you know, we're on the way, but we're not there. We're sinner and saint. You know, we're in that struggle in this life. But God's love is always there. It is always there. It never ends. We always know that we can repent, turn around at any time, and God's open. We can make our home in God anytime as he wants to make his home in us and enter our hearts and our souls. And as we allow that spirit to work in us, there is a light. Jesus said, let your light shine. And there's an aliveness that you go out in your own unique ways, but you proclaim the sanctified truth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And through you, in your own ways of love and invitation and caring, the Holy Spirit is working, and the world is different. Thank God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.